May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord and Savior, the one we worship this holy day. Amen. Our text today is the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 7. Let us pray as we consider the word of God further today in His house. We pray, Lord, indeed open our ears that we listen, that we receive Your word with faith and repentance, understanding. Grant us the Holy Spirit. And bless your church and be with your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it happens about every Saturday morning. That often is clean the house day in the Busher household. Maybe it's the same for you. And my beloved wife, Ann, will be cleaning various things. And she will say, well, are you going to help me clean? And sometimes, what do I say? No. Not a very good answer, I've learned. Maybe a better answer is I'll look around at the house and walk around a little bit and I'll say, well, what really needs to be clean? Looks pretty clean to me. Of course, not to my wife. If I can make it to the refrigerator and open the door and I can watch TV, the house is clean. What really needs to be clean? Well, that really is the topic of the gospel lesson. Mark 7, you heard it. What really needs to be clean? And we learn two things here. What doesn't need to be cleaned? And what does need to be cleaned? And it's important to talk about both of them. Well, what we learn, first of all, what doesn't need to be cleaned is our hands, the outside of us. Now, for personal health and for good hygiene, yes, wash your hands, wash your body, take care of yourself for the sake of your neighbor and your family that you're living with. That's all makes common sense. But to be acceptable to God, to be closer to God, and be right with God, our outward cleanliness has nothing to do with that at all. Our hands or our hair, anything. It does not make you closer to God or take you further away. The topic here in Mark 7 is the ceremonial washing of hands while you would eat and other times too, and then the washing of pots and vessels and so forth. What has this had to do with, what's it had to do with me today, 2015? This is very important back in that day because it had to do with ceremonial cleanness. It did not have to do with good health or hygiene to wash. It had to do with being ceremonially clean, which meant if you weren't clean ceremonially, you could worship God, you could go to the temple, make sacrifices, you could pray, God would hear your prayers. Everything was right between you and God because you were clean in God's eyes. If you were unclean, you could not really go to the temple. You could not make sacrifices. God probably would not hear your prayers. You're unclean. That's what it has to do with your relationship with God. Are you clean or not before God? And that matters everything. Whether I have God's favor or not, God's blessing or not, whether I have eternal life or not. And there were a variety of ways that one could become unclean. And this is taught in Leviticus, although the Pharisees misinterpreted Leviticus. But you could become unclean by touching a dead body, by touching a leper, being too close to a leper. That's why they stayed away from lepers. Really, any sickness or disease would make you unclean. So many, many people would be unclean because they're sick or diseased. And certainly the eating of the wrong type of foods. If you ate the wrong foods, it would make you unclean. And Gentiles would make you unclean. Gentiles were really unclean. And if you even walked in their dust and touched their dust, you'd become unclean. So uncleanness was contagious. It's kind of like cooties when you were in school. Ooh, you got cooties. I touched you. I touched your notebook. I got some disease from you. That's the way they took uncleanness. Oh, I got it from somebody else, especially Gentiles. You can imagine trying to live in this type of society. And so to keep your hands washed and clean is very important because your hands do a lot of things. And one thing your hands do is eat. And God forbid you eat with unclean hands because you then would touch the food and the food would become unclean. And then you ate that unclean food, you'd have uncleanness inside of you, and what a disaster! So the Pharisees would wash their hands several times during a meal. And they would have quite an elaborate ritual of washing the hands. They would most often hold their hands up this way and drop the water from the fingers down to the elbow so that your dirt would run this way and off your elbow and your hand would be clean. And they would do that various times during the meal just in case they got their hands dirty somehow. You don't wash their hands down because then the dirt runs off and may still be on your hand after you wash your hand. Disaster. I hope you begin to see the utter hypocrisy of this, of how I got to wash my hands now and all to be clean before God. And Jesus calls them hypocrites. Nowhere is this taught in Scripture. It's the traditions of men. He calls them hypocrites, and he and his disciples don't do it. That's why they're complaining. And this is so important to them. They've traveled from Jerusalem to Galilee. The scribes have come 60, 70 miles to talk about this. This is how important it is. Not a minor little thing. This is really important to be clean before God, and you don't wash your hands. And how does this apply today? Well, there are applications in general of making Christianity outward show, where I try to, by my outward living and my actions, to impress God and gain the favor of God, and also to show off to you guys. The Pharisees washed their hands also to be right with God, but also a little show off here. I'll show you how clean I am and how wonderful I am, and don't you wish you were like me? So show off to God and get His points, and show off to others and show I'm better than you and put you down. And God hates that. Hypocrites, Jesus calls them. How dare you teach the traditions of men as if they're the commandments of God? This is nowhere in the Bible. Application. We have to watch out when we talk about dressing up for church. I think it's an application. If you dress up for church and wear your best as Grandma taught us, that's a good thing. If you do it out of faith and you do it in humble love for your Lord, and teach your children that, it's wonderful if it's love for the Lord and flows out of a faith of repentance. But if you dress up and look nice and you think you're better than somebody else who doesn't dress up, and you're trying to gain points with God because you're dressed up, and you think you're better because you're dressed up and they're not, and you look down on them, hypocrite! How dare you think you're better than somebody else by what you wear, or think you're gaining God's favor because of what you wear? Or if we serve in the church when we need servants, and we do various things in the church, and that's we need servants. But if you do that out of faith and love for God, wonderful. We need servants. And you do it in humility, not to gain attention or get your name out there. Wonderful. We need that. But if you serve to show off, look at how good I am. I serve in the church, and you don't, so I'm better than you. And you think somehow your serving in the church is getting you points with God. You're gaining God's favor. Hypocrite. That's the word of Jesus. How dare you? And worship, which we're in right now. We want you to worship with concentration and intensity. Follow the liturgy. Hear the readings. Sing. Participate. And do it with zeal. Psalm 103, let all my inmost being praise His name. Not a little bit of my being, but all my inmost being. You do that out of faith and love for God. Praise be to God. Yes, we encourage that. But if you worship with intensity and you sing, but you're showing off, look at my wonderful voice, look at how I worship and you don't. Hypocrite! You made it all an outward show of your own piety. And you really think you're gaining the favor of God, you hypocrite, Jesus would say. It's right there in the text. Jesus teaches what doesn't need cleaning is our hands. Again, for health and hygiene, yes, common sense, but not to be acceptable to God. What needs cleaning, folks? Not the hands, but the heart. And this is the heart of the text. This is what needs cleaning. If you keep on reading in Mark chapter 7, this is not in the gospel that I read, but certainly could have been read. In Mark 7, Jesus continues the discussion. And he says this, Mark 7:14, and he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all you, and understand, this is important. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person, this thing, are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding?" In other words, what's wrong with you? Don't you get this? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? He's talking about food now. Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus he declared all foods clean. Eat whatever you want. It's not going to make you closer or less closer to God. And he said, this is important, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within the heart, and they defile a person. So get it straight, folks. What needs cleaning is not your hands. It's not an outward show. What needs cleaning is your heart, because it's so full of every sin Jesus mentions there, and 100 million more that he doesn't mention, just a sample. This is what needs cleaning. If the outside needed cleaning and that made us right with God, we'd give you soap today. Here's your soap, William, Pat. You get 2 bars of soap, and you get 3 bars of soap. Here's your shampoo, and here's your cloth to wipe off, and here's your shaving cream, and ladies, here's your lotion and cleansing thing. Now go home and be right with God, and here's your new clothes to wear too. I don't see where we pass out any soap to anybody or any shampoo or anything else. We give you things that cleanse the heart. We give you Jesus. And that's why he has come, to bring cleansing to the heart by his shed blood on Calvary's cross. This is what cleans the heart, the sacrifice of Jesus, the shed blood on Calvary's cross. That's what makes us right with God. That cleans the heart. That makes me acceptable to God, the death of Jesus. That's what we proclaim in absolution for the sake of Christ. Forgive me. What came out of Jesus when he died? Think with me. Within us is sin and evil. You just heard Jesus say it. You do a lot of self-examining. You look at yourself, look in here, and just realize how rotten we all are. We sin all the time. What came out of Jesus when he died? The Bible says this is very significant for this discussion. Blood and water. When he was stabbed in his side, and that no doubt the sword pierced his heart. That's why they would stab you to get to the heart. Blood and water came out. And John tells us that. The Spirit tells us that. Why? Because it's showing us what's inside Jesus. What's inside of us is nothing but sin. What's inside of him is water. It is pure, holy, righteous, saving water. The water of God. It comes from God, Jesus. And blood, his righteous, saving blood, comes out of him. And this water and this blood's applied to us. 2,000 years later, it's called baptism when you think of water. And so when we are baptized, we get what's inside Jesus inside of us. And so the heart is cleansed. It's not mere water. It's water in the Spirit. It's water from the side and heart of Jesus. It's divine, holy water because God is in it. And that water doesn't just go in our heads and wash us. It goes into our hearts, if you will, and washes and cleanses. It's called absolution and baptism. That's how I get clean. That's what we give you, holy baptism, holy absolution. It cleanses the heart. And then when we have communion, we'll have it after church. We eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus. And the blood cleanses our hearts and forgives us and washes us, and we are spotless without wrinkle or stain. The bride of Christ, loved, forgiven, redeemed, the righteous children of God. Water from him into us. Blood from within him into us. This is the cure, Christ. Baptism, communion, absolution, Christ himself. This is what cleanses the heart, and this is what we offer you. Baptism, absolution, the Word of God, and Holy Communion for the cleansing of the heart. You know, read an article about signs of having a bad heart. These are physical signs, and you have a bad heart, they say, if you snore a lot. William, are you there with me? I don't know if I snore or not, but my wife tells me I do. Do you snore? Or if you have, you don't floss well, you have gum problems, it's a sign of a bad heart. I floss a lot, so I don't have that one. I'm here to say we have many signs of a bad heart. Jesus gave us the signs of a bad heart. It's called sin. It's called greed, evil, deceit, lying, cheating, stealing, gossip, selfishness. Those are signs of a bad heart, and you and I got it. And we're only going to have a good heart by the saving blood of Jesus that we drink and the saving water of Jesus that we're baptized in. The saving gospel that we hear about. Only way to be saved and to live eternally. Read another article of I like these articles, of how to prevent aging. Because we all want to be young, and I'm getting up there. I'm 39 now, Pat, and going up there a little ways. It's the stress of the church that makes me look so old. There you go. But you know, this is good news for me, though. What can prevent balding? I'm already kind of there, so I don't know if I can prevent it. John, this is for you, too. Who else is bald out there, guys? John back there. Mark, you're kind of getting there, too. But if you eat dark chocolate and have salmon, so let's go out, guys, and have salmon and dark chocolate. What do you think? Our birthdays are coming up, Mark. There we go. It's going to help us with our hair loss. And then to prevent wrinkles, all the normal stuff of eat your blackberries and your blueberries and your tomatoes and broccoli and all that good stuff too. Oh, how we want to be young. Well, I'm here to say I don't want to just be young. I want to live forever. And I want a new heart, and I want a new set of eyeballs and new ears and a new mind and a new head and new arms and new legs, new knees, a brand new body that's glorified and pure and holy and righteous, that does everything right, that follows the will of God perfectly. I want the resurrection of my body and live forever with God. That's what I want. And blueberries and blackberries and dark chocolate won't help that. It is Christ. In Christ, He cleanses the heart now, and the body will be clean and pure and holy in the resurrection. And so we are clean, and clean indeed. Go home and clean your kitchen. Clean your bathroom. Wash your hands. It's good hygiene. It's healthy. But above all, make sure this thing's clean. Confess your sins and hear absolution. Be baptized if you're not. Hear the gospel. Receive Holy Communion. And go home with a clean heart, acceptable to God, pure and holy, without spot or wrinkle. All is right between God and me. And I can go home and rejoice, for I am clean. Praise be to Jesus who brings out the cleaning. Amen.